This is the familiar sound of a car going over potholes. The sensation one Twitter commenter described as what it feels like when the soul leaves the body. But don't worry, it's coming from your radio. We're all a little tense about that sound because potholes are everywhere in Kansas City, or at least that's what it feels like. And although we could probably do a whole show with people just ranting about it, that's not what we're going to do. Instead, we're going to study the pothole from many angles with people who are taking matters into their own hands. A city employee, an artist who makes stuff inside of potholes, thereby filling them, a mechanic who fixes cars damaged by potholes, but first, a vigilante pothole activist in Waldo. I'm Gina Kaufman, and my first guest is Frank Serino. Hi, Frank.
Hi, good morning, Gina.
You became famous for throwing a birthday party for a pothole. Can you tell that story? But I mean, starting at the beginning when you first encountered that particular pothole.
Well, it goes back about 10 years, and I've been trying very, very hard to let the city know about potholes, following the prescribed method of calling the 311 Action Center. And seeing some of the non-results that I was getting, I was frustrated. Last year, I'd reported a pothole down the street from my house. It went 3 months without being fixed. I said, how can I draw attention to this pothole crisis that we have in Waldo and throughout Kansas City and post it on social media? My neighbors in Waldo are all saying the same thing. And I said, why don't we have a three-month birthday party for a pothole? So I went to my local grocery store, bought a beautiful piece of cake, red, white, and blue. It was right around the 4th of July. I got a number three candle. I lit it. I took it down the street, took a nice picture of it, and it just exploded. It went viral. Everybody gets this. It's a problem, but our city hasn't been addressing it.
Your pothole antics continue to this day. Were you encouraged by the effectiveness of the birthday party? Because they did. I understand it got fixed pretty fast after the birthday party.
It was fixed very, very quickly. And I said, is this what it takes to get a pothole fixed in Kansas City, that I have to go to all of this time and trouble and turn my frustration into sarcasm and wit to get our city leaders' attention? And I said, well, it worked for this pothole. What else can I do? And so we went from there.
Yeah. Talk to me about what you're up to now, pothole-wise.
Okay. So after the birthday party, they fixed the pothole. Well, we had a graduation party. I invited all my neighbors down. We had celebration cake. We had drinks. My neighbors came out. It was a great community effort where I live.
Yeah, it sounds fun.
So I said, well, what else can I do? I want to keep it top of mind. My neighbors are all up in arms about it, but we don't know what to do. So recently, I created a fake business, and I called it Worst, Waldo's Off-Road Street Training. I shot a video of ourselves driving down 75th Street, which is nothing but craters, and I said, hey, if you want to learn defensive driving, how to weave your way around the potholes, how to kind of have fun in Waldo, give us a call. Contact me. Well, I said contact my city council members and mayor, but again, it was just in jest, and that in turn went crazy because people get it. We're just trying to bring our city leaders together and say, we have a problem. Please listen to us.
I have to assume you have a life beyond being this advocate for Kansas Cityans who are tired of potholes. Tell me about the rest of your life. I mean, not everything, but just like, what's your deal?
Well, I'm just a regular person, as the mayor calls us. We're just regular people. I have a day job. I enjoy what I do, but this, again, started years ago, and I learned long ago that I turn frustration into action. I don't like to let it stew. I like to be motivating myself. So I have many hobbies. I ride motorcycles.
Why do potholes bother everyone, but they seem to bother you an extra whole lot. So can you talk to me about what they represent
Sure.
to you? What is so bad about potholes?
So I mentioned I ride motorcycles, and I've been an enthusiast for many, many years. Potholes are not an inconvenience to me. This is a potentially dangerous and deadly situation. I hit a pothole 10 years ago, right at 75th and Holmes, where I live. My front tire went down, and fortunately, that's 35 miles an hour. I was able to keep the bike under control, keep it upright, and I didn't wreck, just by the grace of God. And I started right there. I said, I'm going to report this pothole because it's putting my life in jeopardy. And again, it takes weeks and months to get them fixed. And I said, I want to ride motorcycles, and I still do, but it's so dangerous that we have to pay attention. We're talking about citizen safety. We're talking about tremendous property damage, and I don't want to encounter that.
Well, we are going to be hearing from someone at City Hall later on who can address some of this. But now I'd like to turn to Mark Trokey of Trokey Automotive. He's a mechanic in Waldo who sees the havoc potholes wreak on cars here. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Gina. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for being here. Does Frank's story sound familiar to you? I mean, not the part about throwing parties for potholes, but the rest of it.
Yes, it does. We live in a time right now where the economy is fairly decent. Our customers sometimes have a hard time just making their maintenance on the vehicles. And to have the added expense of the damage that's being caused by the potholes that are in the area, it's sometimes disheartening for us as mechanics, because there's one thing about having something broken and fixing it and having something deliberately broken
because
of something else.
Just an external force.
Exactly.
From a car perspective, how much damage do potholes do?
Oh, we can exert anywhere from $100 to $1,250. It could go up from there. You know, unfortunately,
what kinds of problems come of potholes?
The things that we're seeing is that the tires on the sidewalls are being blown out because they're catching just part of the pothole because the person is trying to swerve and miss it. If they hit the pothole just right, it actually damages the rim. So you need a new wheel on the car. When we have a new wheel on the car, then they can run anywhere between $100 to $750 each. Some of my customers not only hit it on the front tire, but the back tire also. And now you're talking somewhere in the vicinity with, if it needs the tire and the wheel on two wheels, you're talking in excess of $2,500.
And when you can't just get one tire replaced unless it matches all the other tires, right?
Exactly. Today's automobiles, with all of the sensors that we have located all over the wheels and in the transmission, they require the same ratios. So if we put a brand new tire on it, of course, the tire is going to be larger than what the other tires are. If the tire is over 50% worn, it's not a good idea just to put the one tire on it that blew. And on a four-wheel drive vehicle, if you damage two wheels on it, well, you're talking all four wheels, because a four-wheel drive car has a different, you know, gear ratios, and that will reflect inside the transmission, cause other problems.
Is it your sense, based on the number of cars coming into your shop for pothole-related reasons, that this has gotten worse? Just judging by the statistics on kcmo.gov, where they have entire pages and pages dedicated to the handling of pothole complaints, it sure looks from that like it's gotten worse.
Yes, it has gotten worse. And especially 2 weeks ago, in one day, we had four vehicles in that had hit potholes that ruined rims and that needed tires and stuff like that.
And you've got a small shop. You're not like some giant operation that saw four in one day.
Yes, ma'am. That's correct. And I'm just a small two-bay shop. I've got two technicians that work with me along with myself. And when we have emergency services come in, sometimes it might take 2 to 3 days just to get the wheel. Now the person's not out with their car only. Now they're into a rental car because everybody has to get to work.
Yeah. Do you feel like Waldo is some kind of pothole epicenter in Kansas City? Or does just everyone feel like that about whatever neighborhood they live in?
I feel that the potholes in Kansas City, and especially in the Waldo area, are pretty great. However, I drive quite a few miles running parts for my guys, because that's the way we have to do it. I see these potholes all over the city. Yes, there's some big craters in Waldo especially, but it just is not only in Waldo, it's over the entire city.
Do you have advice for driving safely for like human safety and also car safety during peak pothole season, or is there just not a safe way to navigate the streets?
There is a safe way to navigate the streets. You need to pay attention. Stay off of your phones. Make sure that you're looking in your rearview mirror, that that the person behind you is not crowding your bumper. The person behind another person also needs to be aware that, hey, don't crowd the person's bumper because he might have to slam his brakes on at any time. No one wants to have not only a rim damaged, but they don't want to have the back end of their car damaged either.
Do you see that a lot from pothole encounters?
Yes, we have seen it in a couple of occasions. It doesn't happen very often. Most of the people are pretty much aware. No one wants to wreck their cars because of the expense.
Do you see people coming in for swerve because they've swerved to avoid a pothole and they've hit something else? Because those are the two options sometimes. You swerve
yes.
and – yeah.
Yes, and you know it's a good thing that you brought that up because that – provides even more damage to a car. A person sees a pothole last time, they're cutting their wheels, their wheel hits it at a different angle than straight on, and now we have suspension damage. And that could run into $2,000 to $4,000 just by itself.
So when you are weighing your choices and you're like, am I going to just go right into this pothole or swerve, go into the pothole?
Yes, go into the pothole straight, brake before you get there. And just before you actually hit the pothole, release your brakes and let it ride over the top. But the main thing is that be aware of your surroundings. If you're up and down the road several times, you know that that pothole's going to be there. Slow down.
Frank, as someone who has landed smack dab in the middle of like pothole conversations in Kansas City over the last like couple of years, what do other people tell you about how they deal with potholes? Do you hear a lot of tricks and tips, personal theories, ways of mapping out a path to avoid notorious potholes? How do you see frustrated Kansas Cityans dealing with this by and large?
Well, in Waldo, the frustration is palpable, and people now have turned off driving on these roads. They're so bad. 75th Street is just awful. It's actually impacting the local businesses because people don't want to drive on these horrendous roads. We want to shop there. This is where I live. This is where I eat. This is where I shop. This is my entertainment district. But if I have to put my safety or my car at risk to go there, I'm going to think twice about going down that road, and that's what my neighbors are doing. They're actually avoiding the businesses because the roads are so bad, and that's really sad.
We have to take a break, and when we come back, someone from the Public Works Office will answer our questions about what the city is up against and how they're tackling this, plus analysis of how our pothole problems compare with those in other cities. So we're going to say goodbye now to the guests we've been chatting with, Frank Serino, Mark Troche. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Mark's shop is Mark Troche's Automotive Service. I'm Gina Kaufman. We've got more to say about potholes. That's next. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard. And now, the moment you've been waiting for, I'm going to give you the phone number so you can call us up and tell us about the potholes plaguing your neighborhood, your route to work, and especially your theories about potholes, rants, success stories, whatever, 816-235-2888. My next guest can actually answer your questions. She can tell you what the city is and isn't doing and why. Maggie Green from Kansas City's Public Works Office. Hello.
Hi, Gina.
I hear that today is your one-year anniversary at your job, and that being here is kind of like a celebration. But I honestly would have guessed that answering pothole questions and complaints is like the bane of your existence right now.
A little bit, but it's part of the job. And I remember when I started a year ago, this I kind of fell into the pothole conversation, and full circle, here we are again. So it's given me a great chance to get out and listen to the concerns that Kansas Cityans have about our roadways and really be able to be that link between what our department does and the work that we're doing, and be that communicator to residents.
What happens when someone reports a pothole?
Yeah. So what we encourage residents to do, and I know folks are probably tired of hearing this, but the best system that we have is the 311 system. So that's how people can call in, tweet in, email, online, kcmo.gov/311. There's about 10 ways to contact 311. So once that request gets into the 311 system, it by location will go to one of our maintenance districts for repair. So we have three maintenance districts in Kansas City, one that services north of the river, central region, and then south. And so depending on where the location of the pothole is or another service request, it'll get sent to those maintenance districts.
The pothole pages at kcmo.gov are just crazy intense. There are comparison maps that show the number of pothole cases that have been addressed versus the ones still open. You can see the number of reported potholes that have not been filled, and that number is updated constantly, it seems. There's also a very funny, to me, part of the page where you can find out how many job openings there are for people who would be helping to fix the problem, which seems like kind of a subtle way of saying, we're trying. Do you get so many queries about potholes that it's easier to maintain all this data than to not maintain all that data?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's probably 3-4 times a week that a media channel or residents asking about tracking our progress, how many we filled, how many are open. So there is kind of a constant frequency of new data that's out there. But that's one of the things that we've really tried to do in the last year, knowing how important potholes are to Kansas Cityans, to getting around our city, making sure that we have the data available, that we're tracking it. So there's a lot of great information on that website, kcmo.gov/potholes, because we want to be transparent about what our challenges are, what we're doing, what we're tracking, and have information available for folks.
Is there anything in the conversation so far that you'd like to address? We've heard a lot of frustration with potholes and a lot of like legitimate concern about the problems that they can cause people and the danger they pose.
Yeah, so listening into what Mr. Serino and Mark the mechanic had to say a little bit, their concerns are valid. I would say for Mr. Serino and his activism is actually what's great about it is that it forces conversation. It leads to legislation. We had a pothole resolution that was passed, I believe, last week. So that sort of activism does spark change. And so we're happy to be a part of that conversation.
Tell me about the pothole resolution.
Yeah, so this was sponsored by a few council members, and really it was sort of their way to say, hey, we're working on this. We're aware of these concerns. We're going to collaborate with the Public Works Department to make sure we're addressing in the short term, the immediate term, the potholes that are out there, but also really think about longer-term strategy, resurfacing our roads, and instead of a Band-Aid approach, really thinking about it systematically so that we can avoid this sort of situation in the future.
One of the things I learned on the repair a pothole or report a pothole page for kcmo.gov was all the work that's gone into preparing for pothole season before it even got here. Can you tell me about that? How does the city prepare for potholes?
Right. So a pothole is telling us a story about the life cycle and the health of our pavement. So when we have a bunch of potholes that form, that's distress and deterioration in the pavement. That's what everyone's experiencing. But there are some preventative maintenance activities that we can do to help prevent the frequency and the numbers of potholes. So we care for the pavement around Kansas City in many ways. Weather, temperature, time of year, budget all determine what activity we might do. But one of the most popular thing that's been talked about a lot is our street preservation program, and that's where we actually go resurface the roadways. So that is something that happens usually during the warmer months, so spring to fall. We can also do crack sealing in the road. So anytime a crack is in a roadway, water can seep in. That kind of was what causes potholes when you have freeze and thaw and expansion.
So the crack is the future pothole.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. So if we can seal those up with an activity called crack sealing, it's sort of the black spider webby material that you'll see on the roads. That helps seal out the water. So if we can do that right before the winter season, that can help us prevent potholes as well. And then pothole patching is really the tool that we have in our toolbox throughout the winter season, because a lot of the other work has to be done when it's a little warmer out. But pothole patching we can do throughout the winter using different materials depending on what temperature it is outside.
Why is it that potholes seem to come back after they've been repaired? Or is that just a total misperception?
Yeah. So thinking about how a pothole forms, you know, we experience kind of crazy weather here in the Midwest. And what really causes a pothole to form is any sort of distress or crack in the pavement, and then moisture, water that gets in there. During the winter, that water doesn't evaporate. And so then we have what freezing and thaw cycles. So it gets warm, it gets cold, it freezes, it thaws. That causes the pavement to expand.
So the repetition of our weather causes a repetition of the effects of the weather.
Absolutely. Another thing we get asked a lot, is it worse this year? I think that was something you all were talking about before I came on.
Yeah.
Pothole formation really is cyclical. We are seeing more potholes last year, this year, than we have the previous couple of years.
When the statistic on your website is that it's up 33% from last year.
Yeah, and I ran another report yesterday, and it's sort of lining out to be about the same as 2019. So last year, this year are a lot higher than 2018, 2017. But what really is behind that story is how old the road is, so the age of the pavement. You know, we talk about deferred maintenance, so that is really when we don't have enough money to do the preventative activities. So then, you know, sealing can't be done and that sort of thing. And so then we get more cracks open. But the weather is another one of those big factors that's really contributing to the pattern that we're seeing these days.
Is there a rhyme or reason to which potholes are prioritized? Because there's that perception definitely exists out there that when you see potholes that persist in a certain area and then potholes that don't persist in another, that gets people suspicious.
Yeah, so there's a lot that goes into that question. The first thing would depend on what material we are using to patch the potholes. When we get lower than 25 degrees, and depending on what the asphalt plants make, we use what's called cold mix. It's a more of a temporary patch. It's really all that we can do when it's really cold outside. But those patches don't last as long. They're not as sustainable as, you know, when it's warmer and we can use permanent asphalt, hot mix was what it's called. But as far as prioritizing goes, you know, as we talked about, all the pothole requests reported to 311 get on a maintenance list. But at this point in the year, what we're seeing with the volume of calls that we have, I think there's about a little over 1,200 that are open right now from the first of the year. So that's quite a volume.
That is quite a volume.
And so when volumes are that high, our crews focus efforts on major roadways. So the roads that carry the most amount of traffic, high call areas from 311, and streets that might have a pothole so big that you can't drive or pass through. So those are sort of the triage prioritization things that we look at this time when we have this many calls.
When you host a talk show, the companion question to how are you doing is what's on the show tomorrow? And so yesterday I told many, many people that we were doing a show about potholes. And pretty consistently, the answer I got back was, you know, as soon as you cross state line, no more potholes. A lot of people said that to me, and I have not scientifically studied whether that is true. But I am curious if it's just like the inevitability of weather and pavement. Why would that be the case? Or is that just like, would you like to object to that?
Sure. So I think I hear that comparison a lot, too. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about a lot is how many lane miles we have. We have over 6,000 lane miles in KCMO alone. That's almost 320 square miles. Lots of pavement to maintain. And I know folks get tired of us saying that, but it's the reality. And it's definitely one of our challenges is we have a big city. There's a lot to maintain. The ratio of the amount of lanes that we have to maintain to the amount of crews that we have is different on KCMO's side than when you cross the state line. So we're well aware of that comparison, but there are deeper factors to consider when thinking about our availability to handle this challenge versus another smaller community.
The mayor, Quinton Lucas, talked about potholes right at the beginning of his State of the City address. And one of the things he said was that potholes are not an act of God, meaning this problem isn't just inevitable and unfixable. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I think one of the things he's talking to is thinking about, you know, we do have a short-term immediate problem that we do have to catch up with the potholes that we're facing. But the whole other conversation is how can we be better prepared? How can we better use our resources, our funding, to start to prevent this sort of thing in the future? And that's a loaded conversation, a loaded question, too, because a lot of it does depend on funding, depends on strategic use of the resources that we have, making sure that we're doing things at the time of year that we're supposed to be doing them, making sure we're sealing those cracks and that preventative program is funded well. So there's a lot that goes into, you know, smart planning and smart use of our resources. And so, you know, the fact that potholes is on the front of everyone's mind, it is for us too. And so it is a great time for us to be talking with our policymakers about how to be sustainable with this issue.
He also really committed to addressing equity in pothole repair. And I've mentioned that perception that there are that potholes aren't treated the same way from one part of the city to another, and this sense that the city kind of maybe plays favorites, being just a perception that's out there. We also just did hear, though, about fallout from potholes when it comes to really expensive damage to a car. So this is no small issue equity-wise. I mean, if it takes an already struggling family's car out of commission, is that equity issue, that fairness critique, is that something that you all wrestle with a lot?
We've definitely heard that, but if we look at the 311 calls, if we look at where our maintenance districts reside and where they work, this is really a citywide, and I think the Mark, the mechanic, pointed that out, that when he's driving around, he sees potholes everywhere. So it's less about the neighborhood as it is more about, like, the age of the pavement. So we look at areas where the pavement's newer, roads have been reconstructed, rebuilt in the last few years, they're not having as many pothole problems. We look at older neighborhoods where the roads are a little older, and you do see more potholes. So for us, it's less about the geography of the neighborhood or council district, and it's more about the age of the pavement.
And then impact-wise, the how big a dent does a car repair put in your overall household finances? That would be another piece of the equity issue.
Right. And that gets a little out of public works realm.
Yeah, for sure.
But as far as, you know, since you brought up the car damage, that we do have a claims process at KCMO. That's what we get asked about a lot. So if a resident has experienced damage to the car because of a pothole, they can file a claim online through our legal department. And we have some pretty astonishing stats about claims.
Yeah, share
over
those.
The last couple of years. Let me see if I can find them here. So for last year, 2019, we had, 206 claims were paid out, and about $125,000 for pothole-related claims for car damage. So it's definitely...
But then just as we think about our city's budget, that need for a long-term solution so that the city isn't spending hundreds of thousands of dollars repairing people's cars, to say nothing of the potholes themselves...
Exactly.
Seems significant.
But having that ability to file a claim for property damage is, you know, comforting for some folks who do experience car damage from a pothole.
I want to welcome our next guest. We're going to turn to Brooks Rainwater, who's with us from the Center for City Solutions at the National League of Cities. Hi, Brooks.
Hi, Gina. How are you?
Good. You have analyzed mayoral speeches nationwide to get a sense of priorities and how they rank. So what kinds of issues are cities are really concerned about tackling? Kansas City is not the only city where potholes make it into mayoral speeches. Talk to me about this.
Absolutely. At the National League of Cities, every year we do a State of the Cities research piece where we look at mayoral State of the Cities speeches, generally about 150 of those speeches from cities large and small, regionally, all across the country, in order to kind of focus in on what are those critical issues. Consistently, economic development is one of the top issues, always at number one, that mayors are focused on. But then we see issues like infrastructure, health and human services, and energy and environment kind of rounding out that top five or six. And in this last year, we found infrastructure to be the number two issue that mayors were focused on. 57% of speeches included something on infrastructure. 20% of all speeches mentioned potholes. And what we find is that mayors are looking at different ways that they can really move the pothole conversation forward, either using technology or addressing potholes through non-technological solutions. Much like what's happening in Kansas City, the 311 app is probably the most critical resource because it creates that two-way dynamic between the city and the people within the city to be able to report those potholes and then to be able to measure how long it takes to fill them.
Why do you think potholes are so frequently mentioned in mayoral speeches? 20% is pretty high, I feel like.
I think what it is, and I've heard mayors say this, and I'm not sure exactly who it's attributed to, but there's no Democratic or Republican way to fix a pothole. At the end of the day, mayors have to get the job done, and people feel potholes as they're driving through the city. And particularly as we're thinking about issues like complete streets, which I know Mayor Lucas is also focused on within the city, as you see people on bikes, on scooters, it's not just cars. It is the motorcycle that an earlier guest mentioned. Potholes can be a real challenge for people getting around. And so what it actually speaks to is the longer term infrastructure challenges we have as a country. You know, we've consistently at the national level pushed our federal partners to really step up on infrastructure. You know, local governments and states have stepped up themselves over the past 10 years. With almost $4 trillion in municipal bonds, but there's a $2 trillion gap right now that needs to be filled to kind of bring our streets, bridges, you know, waterways up to par. And so I think this gets at patching the potholes for now is what needs to be done. But long term, we need to think about how we have more sustainable infrastructure.
You know, our mayor says he's going to appoint a pothole czar and dedicate more resources and funding to potholes. He's talking about a lot of protecting what we have instead of building anew, which seems to be in some ways connected to what you're talking about with a larger infrastructure problem. What's your reaction to that?
I think that first and foremost, when we look at infrastructure challenges, we need to protect what we have before we can build anew. You know, this gets at some of the challenges as we're moving into a technologically advanced time, and all of us are talking about things like autonomous vehicles, kind of the broad shifts that we're seeing. But we can't get there in a great way before we make sure that the potholes are filled, that we're repaving the streets that we have now, that we're fixing the sewer systems that are woefully out of date. These things matter, and oftentimes the cost is quite high, and it's not as shiny as some of these longer-term issues. And so it's hard to kind of garner the support. But I think what Mayor Lucas is doing is just right, which is making sure that it is kind of a core focus to kind of get those everyday problems solved, because then you can collectively work together to kind of push for the future.
If we're just going to assume that your data is on some level reflective of the concerns that are most prevalent in communities and taking priority, if not in city policy, at least in what mayors feel like they have to acknowledge when they speak to their constituents, are there other kinds of czars that our mayor should be expected to appoint in the near future once the pothole problem is effectively solved?
Sure. I think that one of the continual issues that we hear mayors very much focus on is equity within their cities, whether we're talking about things like streets and paving, whether we're talking about mobility services, whether we're talking about housing and homelessness and the challenges we're having with affordable housing nationwide. So oftentimes you'll see mayors either appoint czars or think about different kind of chiefs within, thinking about the rise in chief resilience officers and many other kind of officers within the mayor's office. Ultimately, what the mayor is trying to do is utilize their power to solve problems, because that's what they've been elected to do. And so whatever kind of office they have to have, whether it's, you know, citizen service and response offices like we see in a city like Richmond, or, you know, having a pothole czar here in Kansas City, ultimately they're just trying to get the job done.
Maggie Green with us from the Public Works Office here in Kansas City. I want to shift gears a little bit because I cannot pick just one of our callers, because all of our callers want to talk about the same pothole, which is on 39th Street, apparently kind of near Southwest Boulevard or Southwest Trafficway. Sorry. there is a lane that is basically impassable, and people are like avoiding that street, avoiding that block because of this pothole. I know you probably can't speak to this specific pothole, but there are probably communities where specific potholes are so much more, like a specific pothole is so much more annoying than every other pothole, that if the citizens could sort of rally and say, do this one first, there'd be some consensus. How do you guys, does the level of annoyance of a particular pothole factor into the city's approach to like triaging potholes?
If we go back to, when we talked earlier about how we prioritize pothole repair with the volume of calls that we have, we've got between 10 and 12 crews out every day across the city working on potholes. 39th Street is one of those highly trafficked major roadway corridors that is on our radar.
And so, a very narrow street, so you really can't do anything.
Yeah, so that one is, I smiled when you brought up 39th Street because this has been one that's on our radar. We do have crews that monitor corridors like that, 75th. Fifth is another one, View High Drive in the 5th District. So there are some of those major roadways that we try to monitor on a week or biweekly basis to make sure that, we're aware of it, those that pop up.
Alrighty, we have just a little time left for our big pothole show. We're getting all the answers to the pothole questions you have, the questions you never thought to ask. Maggie Green will be sticking with us. Brooks Rainwater joining us from the National League of Cities. We're going to let you go now. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Central Standards Pothole Show continues after the break. I'm Gina Kaufman, and we are talking potholes on KCUR Central Standard. We've got Maggie Green with us from Kansas City Public Works. Hi again, Maggie.
Hi, Gina.
Stick with me for just a minute because we're going to turn to a couple more national guests. I want to hear now from an artist who fills potholes, Jim Bacher. Hello.
Hello. How you doing?
Good. Is it fair to say that potholes are your medium?
Sure. it's a weird field of expertise I didn't plan on becoming, good at.
What inspired you to create art in potholes?
It's a long story, but I'll try and keep it short. I fell in love with ancient history, and when I did, I discovered ancient mosaics. And ancient mosaics, the art form is so durable. I just love the permanence of it. And so the short story is, back in 2013, there was a pretty bad pothole situation here on the northwest side of Chicago, and there was a stubborn pothole in front of our house that refused to stay fixed.
Stubborn pothole, I like that.
I'm sorry?
I like the phrase stubborn pothole. Go on.
Well, yeah, because it's like it's an unsolvable problem. And basically what I did is I kind of solved this unsolvable problem with this incredibly durable art form that I love so much.
As someone who gets up close and personal with potholes in lots of cities, are potholes the same everywhere or are there differences?
Yeah, pretty much the same.
Yep. You have some funny stories. There's a pothole you filled in New York that the city went to the trouble of removing, but also did not go to the trouble to fill the pothole.
Well, it's kind of an amazing story. Yeah, I did I had a Kickstarter funded campaign in New York in 2018, and went out there. Turned out great. I did about eight pieces, and. And the longer I was in town, I was in town for about a week. The longer I was in town, I started to get interview requests, and one of them was with the New York Post, and so that was fun and whatnot. And one of her questions was, where was the pothole art located? And I told her, because it's never been an issue, and it wasn't a malicious question. She was just curious. But anyway, the exact locations of the potholes showed up in the article in the Post. And she also contacted
the
city.
You're not, like, getting permission.
No. No, if I asked for permission, we wouldn't be talking right now because none of this would have ever happened.
Okay. So she publishes the location of your pothole art, and then what happens?
Well, as part of her reporting, she also contacted the Department of Transportation out there for a response. And their response was, we don't like them. They're a distraction. We're taking them out. And so literally within a week of them being installed, I started getting reports of people not being able to find the installs. And so they jackhammered them all out.
But do I understand correctly that the potholes then were sort of recreated? Or because if you, that's crazy.
No, they didn't. They fixed the potholes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
What was crazy was the amount of effort. I mean, the potholes, when I do art, it's fixed. And it's kind of amazing the amount of energy and money and time involved that it would take to jackhammer this stuff out and then fix the pothole anyway. It's crazy.
Well, the nice thing about your chosen medium is it doesn't look like you'll run out of material anytime soon.
Right, right. It truly is. I mean, it's, based on my limited experience, it's kind of an unsolvable problem until we start paving all streets with concrete or something.
So I do understand that when you've traveled abroad, you've been to places where you've had to make a pothole to fill. So that does point to a difference on the national level.
Amazing. I was in Finland a few years ago, and a totally different attitude about public art out there. And I was commissioned by a city and a gallery out there to come out, and they actually asked me for specific specs on my ideal pothole, and then they dug potholes where they wanted art to appear in the city. So one of them was like in front of the town's museum and whatnot, so they could kind of control where the artwork went.
But do they not have potholes in Finland? It's cold in Finland, right?
Yeah, it's cold. Yeah, it's kind of funky. I was actually there for a end of winter festival, and that was in May, so it's cold more often, you know, not there. But I assume there were. I don't think they're any different than anywhere else in terms of number of potholes.
Jim Bakker, pothole artist, thanks for joining us.
Of course, my pleasure.
And now let's hear from Sarah Fine. She's joining us from Oakland, where she serves as the city's paving and sidewalks manager. Hi, Sarah.
Hi there, Gina.
Like Kansas Cityans, Oakland residents think that Oakland's potholes are the worst, but you've been working on fixing it, and the inequality that potholes can represent is part of what you've really deliberately worked to address there. Can you explain that?
You bet. So what we've done in Oakland is actually try to initiate a new paving plan, so fix the entire street and not just the potholes. And we're working against the past practice of local streets being prioritized for paving really by the squeaky wheels. So who can complain the most to their council member and get their street paved? The plan that we just adopted last May does something very different. It prioritizes neighborhood streets by two factors, street condition and equity. And the way we did that was we looked at 9 areas of Oakland. So we split the city into kind of generally recognizable areas. And we said, for each of these areas, what's the share of Oakland's worst streets that are in the area? And what's the share of Oakland's underserved populations that live in the area? So what percent are people of color, rent burden households, people with disabilities, low-income households? And that's what we derived our funding program for the paving plan around. A good example would be our East Oakland area. It has 18% of Oakland's worst streets, 29% of Oakland's underserved population. So again, those two factors of street condition and equity. And the funding, they're going to get just in the middle, 24% of the money. So we took the two factors, weighted them equally. You can compare that to North Oakland Hills. Median income is $158K in a city where it's $40,000. In that area, they have 16% of Oakland's worst streets, but 2% of Oakland's underserved populations, and they're getting 9% of funding in our paving plan.
Can you sort of spell out why it is why this is a picture of equity to spend more of the resources on the neighborhoods where the lowest resource residents live?
It's a lot to the conversation that I was hearing earlier around what the impacts are of street conditions to different households. So in Oakland, we're really invested in ensuring that we're not contributing to our homeless problem. And you kind of track back from that and say, what would happen to my household if a flat tire happened or a broken axle? That impacts different households very differently depending on how vulnerable they are. I think in Oakland, we also have an understanding that we need to be serving underserved populations, both because of current disparities, but also historic. And additionally, part of our understanding of equity comes from our funding. The funding for this paving plan is a local bond measure that passed with 82% approval, which is amazing. And we got $350 million for streets, but written into that bond measure was a provision that the funds need to be spent with an equity provision. So we have to make sure that as we're preparing these capital plans, we have a social equity lens that we're analyzing and that we're creating socially equitable outcomes.
Maggie Green, how does this compare to the way that funding is allocated in Kansas City, Missouri?
Have a similar street resurfacing, street preservation pavement program. So that is an annual program that gets a certain amount of money allocated to it to do things like milling and overlaying and street resurfacing. And with the amount of funding that we have right now, we are really focusing on major roadways. So you mentioned, Sarah mentioned neighborhood streets. What we are focused on right now is the resurfacing the roads that carry the most amount of traffic. And Kansas City is kind of unique because we have it's just very spread out. It's a lot of square miles. And so some areas have a lot of new infrastructure compared to others. We have six council districts. So there's a lot of factors that go into what streets end up getting on the street resurfacing list. We do have a very robust asset management system with street conditions. So we have 30,000 street segments in KCMO. And so we know condition information for all of that. So that's definitely one of the layers that goes into our street resurfacing program. We also look at things like complete streets, sidewalks, access to transit. Those things are also factors we have to layer on when we ultimately choose the streets that are going to be resurfaced every year.
There's some practicality that I really do hear in the high traffic areas getting the most attention. But then you could make the argument, too, that the most neglected parts of town are often going to be low traffic because there's maybe less commerce and less investment equals less activity.
Yeah, I definitely hear that. And I think that the layer of equity is something that we're also trying to figure out. How do we strategically weave that into everything that we're doing? So not just street resurfacing, but the sidewalk repair program that we have, transit priority. So at every layer, equity is a very, very important conversation. And so how we go from here, layering that into our street resurfacing program is something that we're having active conversations about.
Sarah Fine, when you first started this in Oakland, was it perceived as a really radical idea?
It was humbling to realize just how everyone was beginning to expect this of us. So we thought, this is going to be something maybe new and it'll take a lot of acclimation. But I think a lot of residents, as we went out and did roadshow meetings for this plan, we kind of got nods around the room. Like, we thought, you guys would already be doing this. What took you so long? I think another surprise, though, that we found was that addressing social equity actually maximized public benefit. And what I mean is, in Oakland in the flats, where we're dedicating more of our dollars, it's more dense. There are more people per mile. And so for every mile we repair in the flats, based on our equity provisions, 1,400 people benefit from that mile. Compared to our hills that are less sparsely populated, only around 400 people would benefit per mile. So addressing social equity in our paving plan is actually maximizing public benefit.
Were there surprising challenges? This was a surprising not challenge, getting public buy-in. Were there surprising challenges?
I would say the conversation that we presented was based on city values. And so in some places where maybe equity isn't being talked about as much, it definitely would have taken a lot more bringing up to speed. But in Oakland, we have a Department of Race and Equity that helped us kind of come up with the right vocabulary to talk about what equity means in Oakland and prioritizing the needs of underserved populations. And again, for a lot of Oaklanders, the conversations were really fun to have because we were finally investing in neighborhoods that really haven't seen investment in a long time. And I do want to make one point about our program. I've been talking more about our local streets program, but we have a robust major streets program that really is continuing the status quo from prior years of an industry best practice in terms of both preventative maintenance and rehabilitation. So we really want to make sure our major streets stay in good condition. But our local streets just have not had the funding for years and years and years to do anything. So there's an extraordinary backlog of need on our local streets, such that we could never get to everything we need to get to. So in this moment where we know we can't get to everything and we have extra money, we wanted to prioritize those local streets in an equitable way.
Our time is up, but Kansas City, keep talking about potholes. We know you will. And let us in on the conversation by doing it on Twitter, please. We are at KCURCST. Sarah Fine, with us from Oakland, thanks for giving us a picture of what your city's done.
Absolutely.
And Maggie Green, joining us from Kansas City Public Works. Happy work anniversary, and thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Gina.
Maggie is the public information officer for that office. Everything from today's show will be at kcur.org/centralstandard later today. You can share this whole crazy pothole conversation with your friends who might have missed it. kcur.org/centralstandard. Tomorrow, in honor of the 100th anniversary of Negro Leagues baseball, we'll be doing a portrait session with Kansas City's own Phil Dixon, one of the foremost scholars of Negro Leagues baseball anywhere. That's tomorrow at 10 on KCUR's Central Standard. This show is produced by Melody Rowell, Mackenzie Martin, and Noah Taborda. Sylvia Maria Gross is our senior producer. I'm Gina Kaufman. Up to Date is next, and the mayor will be on. So maybe this pothole conversation will continue just a little bit. Stay tuned.